This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
On today's show, we have an hour of Zemo dancing. We received the first Ghostbusters Afterlife clip, and we are talking about the past, present, and future of Marvel. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 75 of the From a Certain Point of View podcast. I'm Josh.
I'm Adam.
And this is our quarter quell, or something like that. What is this?
Is that what that is? I'm not up on my Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. Yeah. we're 3/4 and 75% to 100.
That I can confirm.
Okay. I don't know anything else about the number 75 to say right now. So that's where we are, though.
Yeah, no, that's all I got, too.
Yeah, I don't know if I thought we'd get to 75 episodes. Right. I got to be honest with you.
Quick Hunger Games lingo update is every 25 years, there's a quarter quell edition of the Hunger Games. So we'd be at the third quarter quell.
This would be our third quarter quell.
There you go.
which, of course, appears in Catching Fire, which is my favorite book and movie in that series.
This is true. Well, I mean...
Yeah, so I mean...
I guess it's also true that it's your favorite, but that's...
It is true. And, you know, I
don't know what my favorite is in that series. We should cover that series sometime. I don't know.
We really should. Yeah. I love Catching Fire. I think it just elevates everything. And you know what? I'll just go ahead and give everybody a free recommendation right now.
No charge.
The Hunger Games Catching Fire, either nice. Book or movie, whatever you choose, because they're both great.
Nice.
Yeah, so what's going on with you, sir?
I am watching WrestleMania, because we're recording on Saturday night, WrestleMania weekend. So right now we are recording as Braun Strowman's coming out to fight Shane McMahon.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about the WrestleMania card, actually, in our news this week, but... I would say, in addition to my recommendation of Catching Fire, I've been playing a lot of this with my wife Brittany and Sydney, my daughter. We got a Nintendo Switch recently, and I know we're like 4 years behind, but we started playing Mario Odyssey.
Fun game.
Man, I gotta say it might be my favorite Mario game.
My favorite is still Sunshine from the GameCube era, and I'm glad mm-hmm. that I got the compilation on Switch. But Odyssey was really fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've never played Sunshine. Like I played like, you know, the OG when I was a kid. You know, I played the original Mario Brothers. I loved Super Mario 3. Love that game.
Yeah.
Thought that was great. And then I remember when Nintendo 64 came out, I was going to say
it was 64, maybe you're cut off there.
No.
Oh, really? Well, you
Nintendo
had a Wii.
64. Okay. I did. So I remember very distinctly being in fifth grade when 64 came out, and that's all I wanted for Christmas. Like, I wanted it like nothing else. And my mom and my grandma had me convinced that they were sold out and that I couldn't get it till like my birthday or something like that. So Christmas morning, it was like my Red Ryder BB gun. Like, it was the last gift I opened. It was hidden like back away from everything else.
Awesome.
And and I remember playing like Mario 64 with my cousin the whole night. Like, we pulled an all nighter and just played.
Those were the days, man. But, those were the days.
Yeah.
You don't get that often anymore, but those were good days back when, you know.
Yeah.
Late elementary, early high school, and you just
that stuff was
huge back then. It's not like today with, you know, like Call of Duty and all that stuff. I mean, like, you were hanging out with people. You were playing on the couch and you know. Yeah, I was. You don't get that feeling much anymore. You know?
No. It was good times. And yeah. Of course, I did play Super Mario Galaxy for Wii, which I thought was a good amount of fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
I got a little bit annoyed with all the gravity stuff and the
gravity was
trying
okay.
to navigate everything.
I get it. I get annoyed with motion controls. Mm-hmm. And you know, Wii and to a certain extent Odyssey had that too, but at least mostly Odyssey you were, you know, using yeah. the controller, so that helped. I think there was just a few little things with that cap tossing that was motion.
Where you have right. the option to either hit a button for it or to, you know, do the motion
yeah,
to throw the
right,
cap.
Right. So Galaxy had a lot of the motion just because it was the gimmick with Wii, but you know.
Yeah. But I gotta say, I feel like Odyssey is almost the culmination and combination of everything great about Mario. I mean, it throws in like not only is it's kind of more open world than other Marios have been.
A little bit, yeah.
And instead of like, you know, normally when you get a star in Mario, you go back to the main screen and then right. you have to go back. This is just you get moons instead of stars and you just get one and then you continue playing. You pick it up right after you get a moon. I like that. I like the element yeah. of throwing the cap kind of as a weapon.
Yeah, I got used to it pretty cool. I wasn't sure how I felt about it, you know, like when I was seeing it in trailers and all that stuff, but I got used to it pretty quick. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, and there's even some moments in this game where it changes over to like the old school 2D.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
That, you know, very so cool. I'm loving it. And it's one of these games where I can't wait to play it again. It's yeah. got me hooked. You know, I just keep coming back to it. So,
yeah.
That's my recommendation.
That's cool. That's a cool mm-hmm. recommendation. I like it.
Yeah.
I remember back to the 64. That was the first console I ever bought on my own. You know?
Nice. Yeah. I had my mom and grandma buy it for me.
I didn't get it day one, but I raked leaves like every day one fall.
Yeah,
and it was mainly for GoldenEye is the reason I wanted it.
Right. Oh, GoldenEye was a great game.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, those were good days. Those days hit different than they do now. You know.
Indeed, no doubt about it. Yeah. So, do you have a recommendation for us this week?
Kind of. I'm still working through a series of Marvel comics, and I'll throw this out right now. I'm not quite done, but I'm pretty close. It's called Marvel 1602, and it takes place in the year 1602, and it's kind of a reimagining story. It kind of focuses around a lot of it's on Doctor Strange, Doctor Doom's in there as well. And you see characters come in and out and you know, how they're kind of reimagined for this English. It takes place in England mostly, you know, around time of kings and queens. And, you know, we have the American colonies and that kind of comes into play a little bit as well. It's just a really cool retelling of that whole thing. And it kind of fits into, you know, what I was thinking about WandaVision with Agatha Harkness, thinking she should get her own show kind of set back in that Salem witch trials time period.
Yeah.
And, it kind of fits that way. And it's just a really cool retelling of you know, a Marvel story with a, you know, different time period. And, you know, there's X-Men stuff in there and they're called like witch breed, I believe. And instead of like mutants, they refer to them as witch breed. And you know, it's mm-hmm. it's really neat to kind of see how they've, kind of made that all fit, I guess.
Yeah.
I can never say his name. It's a Neil Gaiman story, actually, that he wrote.
I'll
for
take
Marvel.
Your word for it.
Yeah. it's really cool. It's a lot of fun. So I'm pretty go ahead.
I was just wondering what characters were around at that point, you know, in that time period, or are they like traveling back in time or something?
No, it's more like a retelling of a Marvel story. So it's not in continuity or anything. I mean,
okay,
it has, so the characters that you'd really know. I mean, it has oh my gosh, Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know him.
Totally blanked for a second. As Nick Fury, he's kind of like the lead intelligence officer for the Queen, and it kind of fits into his role as S.H.I.E.L.D., the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange is in this, and he's kind of, we call him like the Queen's doctor, medicine man type thing, but he really kind of, dabs in those magical elements and stuff like that.
Okay. So,
but he's still that cool doctor. I mean, he still does the same type of things. Daredevil, Matt, this is going to be a bad geek show. I'm blanking on everybody's name. Matt Murdock.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. He's kind of like this traveling. He works with Nick Fury in this, but he's kind of almost like a traveling like minstrel type thing. But he has those Daredevil esque athletic abilities and things like that. Black Widow shows up in this. Like I said, X-Men are in this, and it's a little bit renamed. So like, Xavier isn't called Xavier, but it's kind of close to Xavier, And so within that, you have like Scott Summers is named Scotius in this, and he's more like an Irish or Scottish character. So it's all kind of those characters that you know. It's just reimagined into a story that takes place in 1602.
Cool. That sounds really interesting, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been enjoying it. It's pretty cool.
Thank you for that recommendation. And speaking of Marvel, our weekly poll this week had something to do with Marvel, because last week we had a heated debate about who is going to end up with that shield. Debate. It was real heated. Who is going to have that shield at the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier? Who deserves it? I'll just get right to the results. We have Sam with 63.2% of the vote. Bucky at 21.1%, someone else at 5.3%, and no one at 10.5%. So what are your thoughts on these results? Clearly Sam was the winner.
Yeah. I mean, like I said last week, Sam would have been my number one choice. As this has gone on a little bit, I'm kind of hedging away from that a little bit. I'm kind of leaning towards nobody right now.
Yeah, that's what I actually picked. I actually picked no one. I was like, I'm going to throw in my secret, special secret answer here of no one.
Nice.
And I voted for that one.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that, to be honest.
Yeah, I actually didn't watch this week's episode yet, so I need to watch that. Yeah,
watch it. It is my favorite one so far, for sure.
Nice.
This episode's kind of what I've been waiting with this show for a few weeks, so it was nice to finally get that, and I definitely watch it. Highly recommend this week's show. Really good.
Sold out? Every copy. Tomorrow morning, Spider-Man, page one, with a decent picture this time. Move Conway to page seven.
There's a problem with page 7.
I make it page 8 and give him 10% off. Okay. I make it 5%.
That can't be done.
Get out of here!
So, Adam, you're a Mission Impossible fan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I like those movies a lot. Not quite Bond for me, but I do like them a lot.
Me too, but I have some bad news for you.
Yeah, I figured you did.
Yeah, those Mission Impossible sequels are both being delayed a year, actually. Mission Impossible 7, which is currently in production, is now set to open Memorial Day weekend, May 27th, 2022, and it'll go up against John Wick Chapter 4. So I don't know how wise that was, because I think that's probably going to be a big movie as well. I know there's a big following for John Wick. And then Top Gun Maverick is actually seeing its sixth delay. It was supposed to open Independence Day weekend, and it's been pushed back to November 19th of this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, kind of unfortunate for those that we're looking forward to seeing these movies. sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I would say so. That sucks.
yeah. So that kind of sucks. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news on that.
That's
one,
all but, right.
I mean, I don't know. Do you think? I'm thinking, where does Mission Impossible go from here? I mean, are they going to space? Are they going to the moon? You know what? Maybe space. I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know.
I just we're going to have to wait another year.
I just wonder if Tom Cruise is going to yell about this again.
he can get a little bit angry sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, something that doesn't make me feel angry, something that actually makes me feel really, really happy, is watching Zemo from The Falcon and Winter Soldier dance for a straight hour on YouTube on the Marvel YouTube channel.
That was the meme for the week.
Yeah. I love how,
you
know,
we got into it a little bit.
Yeah, we did. And Adam, you actually created your own very creative... I don't know even how to say it. It was some kind of meme that you made. That was...
It was only half my creative. I have to give Cam Ray credit for the other half.
So it came about with the Zima.
Yeah, it came about during our watch party. Cam had mentioned that he can only think of Zima when he hears Zemo's name. So I had to put.
Zemo had some Zima
in Zemo. Yeah.
Well, I remember back in high school, actually.
And I found out, I was Googling because I wanted to put, for this meme, sorry, but I found out that Zima's tagline is something different, like something different. With a Z, which kind of works really good because if you juxtapose the E and the O, it becomes Zemo thing different.
it's perfect.
It's almost like it was made for it.
For me, Zima goes back to high school because I remember there was a big story in high school about one of our
something about that too.
One of our classmates, you know, drinking a bunch of Zimas one night. And clearly, we were underage and knew it. It was a big deal. Let's just say that. But back to Zemo. You know what I love? I love that Marvel just embraced that.
Oh yeah,
this moment
went with it. Yeah. It was cool.
They just embraced it, and they're like, you know what? We love that this is kind of getting... I don't even think it's being made fun of. I think it was just being enjoyed by the fans.
Yeah.
And
it was hilarious. It was an
Yeah.
It was a hilarious moment from that episode, Zemo dancing.
Right.
It was just... That was probably my favorite part of the episode, just because you know who he is, and then he's standing there just trying to blend in. He's doing a fist bump. I thought it was hilarious, so...
It was awesome. And... They give us an hour of it. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, and the best part is it's a lot of like outtakes and stuff of like different things that he was doing instead of the fist pump. It was
It's the Zemo cut.
Yeah.
If you will. Now, let's move on to our next news here. We got the first Ghostbusters Afterlife clip, and you know, I am a huge Ghostbusters fan. I love the original Ghostbusters 1 and 2. I love them both. Now, I was not a fan of the female-led Ghostbusters film. And it's not because I'm, like, sexist or anything like that. It's just, I just didn't like it. It's not that at all. I swear. I'm not. So don't make accusations out there, people. But it just didn't sit right to me because... What I always loved about Ghostbusters humor and Ghostbusters the originals is they took themselves seriously, but they were still funny. Mm-hmm. You know, like the ghosts were could be kind of silly, but they were also a threat still. You know what I mean? Like I felt like that. Who was it? Was it Paul Feig? I forget what his name is. The dude that directed that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Something like look it up, fact checked it. It was silly. It was like, it didn't take itself seriously. It was silly. It just didn't feel like Ghostbusters to me. So when I saw the first trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife and I found out it was, Jason Reitman doing it, Ivan Reitman's son, and Ivan Reitman, of course, directed the original. I was excited because I thought, okay, you know, he's going to have a good vision for this. The first trailer looked really cool. I wasn't completely sold on it being like kids that were, I wanted to see like a new generation of Ghostbusters, yeah, basically. And maybe we'll get that, but I don't know. But I watched this first clip, Adam, and it did not sit well with me. I don't know if you watched it and how you felt about it, but I didn't like it at all.
What was it? Was it the Stay so, Puft thing?
Yeah, it was like all these little Stay Puft marshmallow mans running around, and I'm like, it's silly again, and it's not taking itself seriously. It's like that's what I didn't like about it. I felt like it wasn't taking itself seriously.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know.
That's my issue with it. Now, I don't maybe know I'll love the movie,
I don't know how much that will like be the movie, though. You know,
right? And it's out of context.
Yeah,
and
that's
I gotta
yeah,
keep that in mind.
Yeah, for yeah, sure. I mean, like Slimer isn't all serious either. Slimer is pretty silly.
Right. Right.
So this could be kind of like that, you know. It could be, you know, that type of comic relief style of Ghost, and then there could still be something else, you know, lurking back there that we haven't seen yet, because I don't think they're gonna show off, you know, that type of thing right away. So
this is true. So I'll reserve my judgment.
I doubt that they're gonna like be stomping on Stay Puft the whole time. So
right, yeah. I just want it to feel like the originals and like take itself seriously, but have that great humor. But it's more of a dry humor, and like a, you know, it's
a little bit
taking itself seriously, but it's funny, you know.
Yeah.
And there's an actual, like, I love how the original Ghostbusters actually has like this real threat. I mean, even though it's like a big giant marshmallow man and it's hilarious, it's like, seriously, it's threatening, you know, it's scary at times and everything. So
I mean, little Stay Puffs could be a different type of threat.
Yeah, maybe it's like those little raptors running around in Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Yeah, the ones that spit the venom thing.
Yeah, and you know what? Speaking of that,
segue.
We have some news. The Jurassic World Velocicoaster, which is a coaster I've really been looking forward to, is going to be opening Thursday, June 10th. At Universal Orlando, and I didn't get to visit Universal this past year or last year when I went to Disney, but I think next summer we're actually planning a trip back and going to Universal this time. So I'm looking forward to this. The trailer gives you kind of a POV look at the coaster, and it looks pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that or not.
I did see some. I had to do some research before the show because this wasn't one I was super familiar with. So I found out this is actually kind of going where the Triceratops encounter was, which in Islands of Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of it's cool that they're finally putting that land to use, because that seems like it's been taking up space for a long time. I kind of missed Triceratops encounter; that was kind of cool, but you know that's been gone for a while now. So, but it was just like one of those classic Universal things for me, you know, kind of like how I miss Jaws as well.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. Like, even though it could be kind of cheesy, it was fun. It was a fun cheesy for me, but.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, go for it.
Well, it was several years ago when I went to Universal, actually.
Yeah.
And I was in the Harry Potter stuff was really what drew me there. Mm-hmm. And I loved all that stuff. I was disappointed that Back to the Future wasn't still there, like it wasn't still a ride and everything.
Well, I mean, it's there. It's just Simpsons now. I mean, the entire idea of it is almost exactly the same.
Right.
And one of the special features of Back to the Future on one of the releases that they've done along the way, and I don't know if they've kept this, is actually the ride video. For Back to the Future. So I don't know if you've ever checked that out, but it is definitely on DVD or Blu-ray somewhere, and I might have it, to be honest.
Okay. I'll have to look for that.
That was one of those classic Universal ones too.
Yeah, for sure. But that just reminded me, like, when you said that. But you know, I remember seeing the Jurassic Park area and feeling like this really needs updated, you know. There might be some nostalgia here for some people, but we have Jurassic World now, and I think this really needs revamped was my thought about it back then. And so I'm glad they're kind of, they're doing that now, and we're seeing that now. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I got mixed feelings on that one. These things have to, I know these things have to keep evolving, you know, they can't stay static. But there's something about that. It might, maybe it's just nostalgia, but there's something about, you know, like the River Ride and the pterodactyl type of transport car ride thing, suspended car ride thing. And it's just classic Universal, and I'm definitely gonna miss that type of stuff. But but yeah, I can't argue. I mean, it was kind of stuck in late 90s, early 2000s type of thing, and it's one of those things that's, it's got to evolve, but I'm definitely gonna miss what was there before.
Well, I totally respect and understand your point of view on that.
It's kind of Disney. I mean, it's like, just like Disney stuff, you know. And you go back to, like, even Walt said about Disneyland, that it was always going to keep evolving, would never be finished. And it applies here too. You got to keep bringing people in, and that's not always going to be what brought me in, and I got to remember that. But I miss certain things. So
yeah. That's completely understandable. I'd get it. I promised we'd talk a little bit about the WrestleMania 37 card. That is what you're watching right now, Adam, I think.
Yeah, it still is. Yeah. I'm almost wondering if you have to put like a strobe alert on this video.
I'm gonna have to put that up there because this segment's going on YouTube.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing about this WrestleMania, I think, is really special because obviously it's been over a year since the WWE has had an event where fans have actually been there. And I remember going back to the last WrestleMania and going back to some of those events last year that had no fans, none of the video screens that they have on for Raw and stuff right now. Right. And it was really weird.
It was definitely weird, but I think that they really made good use of that last year, especially in the Undertaker match.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That I thought was that. Really good, really well done.
That was awesome.
But WWE without fans has been really weird. Even the video screen thing has been.
I do think that helped immensely.
It helped. It helps. Yeah, for sure. But now we're getting weird.
Yeah, but tonight is very special, you know. Yeah. And it opened up in an amazing way. America the Beautiful, like all the wrestlers standing, and Vince McMahon and the McMahons. Wrestlers standing in front of the big screen and everything. Like, it was a very cool moment. And you know, it's just a good feeling to be able to see fans there again. I'm sure for the wrestlers, but. We got some big matches on. This is a two-parter. This is tonight is night one, and Sunday is night two.
A little different. Some matches. A little different than just the. But I think it really has given them a chance to showcase a lot more of their talent, which is good.
Yeah, and I'm just going to talk about some of the matches I'm interested in. You know, one I already saw, and you already saw it tonight was what can I think of it right now? The Bobby WWE. Championship match.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre.
And I still don't know how I feel about kicking the night off with that championship match.
I know what you mean. Match. But it was a heck of a way to kick it off. That was a great match. That was a really good match.
And I was surprised with the result, like you were.
I was, you know, yeah. I was shocked.
We were both surprised.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before we started recording, I was really expecting Bobby Lashley to kind of be the heel, take the belt into WrestleMania for McIntyre to win it back. You know, I thought that was, but that's not the way they took it. And I respect that. I feel terrible for my nephew because Drew McIntyre is his, like, idol. He's 5 years old, 5 years old, turning 6 years old. And he loves Drew McIntyre, and I feel so bad for him.
Poor kid.
My sister texted us earlier and said he had tears and everything.
He's got years of not getting what he wants out of wrestling to come because there was so much of that growing up, just not seeing it go the way you wanted it to, you know?
I'll share this on the podcast just because he loves and he doesn't watch. So, but his birthday is this month, and so I picked up this on eBay for him. It's a Drew McIntyre. Autographed Topps card with a
That's awesome.
Authentic piece of turnbuckle in there.
That's awesome.
So that's his birthday gift. He's,
that's a heck of a gift right there.
He's a huge Drew McIntyre fan. So,
yeah, you're going to be his favorite uncle.
Hope so. That's the plan.
Does he have any other uncles?
Wait, what? Yeah,
does he have any other uncles?
Well, my brother, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course. That was
really Matt. Of me.
Sorry, Matt. You know, I don't know how families work. Now let me tell you about some of the matches that I'm interested in. That first one, I'm really interested in the New Day versus AJ Styles and is it Omos?
Omos, yeah. That was a cool match. That just finished. I don't know if you missed it, but that was a cool match.
Yeah, Omos didn't see the end of that one yet.
You'll like it. Omos is he's cool.
Yeah,
I'm a fan.
I'm really looking forward to Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman in the steel cage.
That just finished. I didn't get to watch much of that, but that one just finished.
Yeah, we got SmackDown Women's Championship Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. I think that's the main event.
That's the main event tonight. Yeah, that's gonna be cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that for sure.
And then night two, we have U.S. Championship Riddle versus Sheamus. That looks like a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And let's see here. What else do we have? We have Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. I'm not particularly interested in that one for whatever reason. I don't know why.
I am. I like both of them individually. I think Sami Zayn's a really good wrestler that isn't. In classic WWE fashion, isn't getting used like he could be, but you know,
yeah.
But there's also have Logan Paul in that one, so that takes it down a notch or two.
yeah, Logan Paul's in there, for reasons, but and then we have
just like we have Bad Bunny wrestling tonight,
The Fiend versus Randy Orton. So there's been this ongoing thing with why can't I think of names right now? What's her name? Dang it.
Oh,
Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole thing going on. So
she's been playing that pretty cool too. I mean, it's weird. It's definitely gimmicky weird, but she's doing pretty well with it.
Yeah, for sure. The Raw Women's Championship on night two, Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. That should be a good one. And of course, that Universal Championship match, Roman Reigns versus Edge versus Daniel Bryan. I cannot wait for that one. I am most excited about that. I love Edge.
Me too.
Definitely pulling for him.
Yeah.
And he has an awesome Ultra Bridge song as his entrance music, which I love.
So. Yeah. I don't think he's gonna pull this one off, but I'm really excited to see him.
Who do you think's gonna be the winner of that one?
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, okay. I could see it. So neither of us think that Roman Reigns is going to keep the title, apparently.
So you think it's going back to Edge?
I think it's going to Edge. Okay. Yeah. Lastly, in the news this week, we also had another theme park piece of news here with Avengers Campus, a first look at the Avengers Campus at Disneyland Resort that opens on June 4th. So that looked pretty cool, and I thought it was pretty timely for our main discussion today about Marvel. So any thoughts about this? Did you get a look at this Avengers Campus?
I took a look at it. It looks super cool. Good reason for me to go to California.
Yeah, it'll give me a reason to go because I've never been out to California either.
I definitely am. I really want to make it out to Disneyland one day. And
I've done
Walt Disney World so many times, and I love Walt Disney World. I know that's always going to be my home resort, but I'd love to make it out to California one day and, you know, do the original thing, but then get to see stuff like that too. And I actually don't want that to come to Florida. I think that's cool to stay an exclusive to West Coast stuff. I mean, you start duplicating things everywhere, kind of like with Galaxy's Edge and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have much of a reason to go to the other one, you know, and that gives me a reason to go. And I would like it to stay out there. And I know for legal reasons, I think it probably will. But I think it's cool that it has something unique like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm greedy, so I want one in Florida. But I again respect your point of view on this, sir.
Because I mean, like out there, they have the Guardians version, Tower of Terror got rethemed out there. So
there's something
different out there. I would love for Florida to just keep that Twilight Zone Tower of Terror here.
Yeah.
But you know, it lets them differentiate, you know, a unique reason to visit both parks is good for business too, I think.
Yeah. We just got to get ourselves out there. That's all. So,
yeah.
But hey, that wraps it up for the news this week, and we're ready to go into our main segment once again about Marvel.
Probably safe to say at this point that Marvel's accomplished something never attempted or even thought of in cinema before. And, you know, while we've undoubtedly had long-running franchises before, we've never seen something, you know, as connected thematically and narratively, you know, up until this point. The amount of content over that span of time is just unheard of. I mean, the only rival I can think of personally would be like the Bond franchise as far as like the number of movies, you know, but even those aren't really quite as interconnected until very recently. And, they've also been doing that for like half a century, you know, to kind of get to that, you know, over 20 number. And you know, while this is quite the accomplishment, you know, I can't help but wonder, are there like drawbacks to this type of thing? And this is a topic that, you know, we recently started discussing a little bit in our Discord server, and I thought it would be great to feature on a podcast. So this week we're asking two main questions. First, is Marvel approaching an onboarding problem where, you know, bringing in new fans is going to become increasingly difficult? You know, like the sheer amount of content, is that going to be too daunting, you know, for people that are, you know, just now getting curious about this whole MCU thing? And second, on a larger scale, is this connected universe style of storytelling ultimately the way to go forward for other franchises, you know? So that's kind of our discussion, the main segment in a nutshell. Josh, what do you think? Like right off the bat, is this getting to be a problem? Are we getting close to like being a problem for Marvel specifically?
Possibly, but I don't think we have the whole story yet. You know, when I think about this question, I think about the fact that what they did, like you said, was remarkable. I mean, we've never seen anything like it. I mean, you know, like you even the. You know, I know you said Bond, but it's not like interconnected. It's not this continuous thing leading to this main villain and this everything.
Yeah, you can. I mean, there's some interconnectedness in the older ones with Spectre and stuff like that. But I mean, you can really kind of view those out of order unless you want to get that particular story. But I mean, you can kind of view those out of order, and it doesn't really matter. You know,
right?
When you get to the Craig ones, that's where you kind of, you know, that's where they kind of connect a little bit. You know. But I don't think it's even to this level, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think of, you know, I think of Star Wars. If you want to look at the Skywalker saga, I think of the Harry Potter, you know, series of films and everything, but what mean, Marvel
like,
did,
like even those, like that's 9 movies.
Yeah. Know? It's not 20 or whatever.
Right.
So when these were all coming out, I was blown away. Each movie we would see, just getting knocked out of the park every single time. I'm like, how are they doing this? How are they making such good films over and over again? That are all making a good amount of money and getting good, you know, critic reviews and audience reviews, and they were just, man, it was an impressive thing. And it was so exciting going into the theater to see Infinity War, you know, seeing all these characters together on screen and for the first time, really seeing them all come together after all their individual outings or other Avengers outings. And then, of course, Endgame. Both of those movies were incredible experiences. You know, they weren't just sure. movies. It was an experience to go and to the theater and see these with other people and the response and everything. So I think what they did was phenomenal. And I don't know if it's lightning in a bottle. Like, can it be done again? I don't know. Should it be done again? I don't know. You know what I mean? But I think that they took the correct approach, at least the first time around. And now we're in this kind of weird period where not only are they kind of going into this whole new era after Endgame, mm-hmm. but also COVID kind of interrupted all that at the same time and pushed things back. And so I think it was just these two things that, that maybe they have a little bit of an issue right now, of, you know, kind of getting people to come in, you know, kind of your, let me look at what your first question was here.
So yeah. So here's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I kind of felt like Endgame was almost like a reset point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I know we're going to get some of the same characters coming back. You know, it was Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Thor, still that type of stuff. I know that those care, but with like Cap and Iron Man both kind of closing those stories at the same time, kind of felt like that was a good point to reset things. And by mm-hmm. and by that, I mean like here's a point where you can bring new people in and kind of have a fresh starting point for them. And what I've seen so far, and I know that, like you said, COVID has kind of messed with things and COVID's kind of put things out of order. So, you know, this was going to be a little bit different, and we were supposed mm-hmm. to get Black Widow, which kind of would have been a good breathing room movie, I think, you know, to, you know, kind of tell that backstory a little bit, but then also maybe move something forward as well. But what we've seen with WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier are all these references back to like phase 1, phase 2 stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that. You know, like if you have Disney Plus and you're seeing, you know, that WandaVision banner every week and you're like, well, I wonder what this is about, and you start watching it, you're not going to get everything there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Those important points are going to be really lost on you. And some of them were lost on me, and I have been there from day one, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm like wondering if there's an issue right now, especially since they're kind of leaning a little heavily on some of those older things that we all know that we're good with. But someone new that's just joining this, is this going to be too much? Because now not only do they have, you know, these TV shows that they're keeping up with, there's now, how many movies are there?
A lot.
There's over 20, right?
There's over 20, yeah. It's in the low 20s somewhere.
So if you're wanting to get that, and the other thing with like with Star Wars, you can give someone, okay, like you can say, okay, just watch these 3 movies now, you know, and go with that one. But the thing with this is that's hard to do,
like,
with
watch,
this.
Watch those, you know? 23 movies and, and then you're caught up.
Yeah. The one thing that Disney has been doing a good job with, I think, is those Legends things.
Yeah.
Catch up with, mm-hmm. with the general story. They're good for refreshers for us. And I think they might be good to kind of catch someone up that's brand new. But is there a problem there that we're kind of still leaning really heavily on some of those things from years and years ago? You know, especially for someone that might be coming in brand new.
Yeah, I feel like, thinking about myself, if it was me coming in as a brand new fan, like I would either have to go back and watch everything, or I probably wouldn't watch it, you know, because if I felt too
exactly,
overwhelmed, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I'm wondering here, is like, mm-hmm. is that, are they reaching that tipping point, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a definitely a good question. And I know for, like I said, just for me, it would be hard for me just to jump into something like that without knowing. I like to know everything, you know, yeah, when yeah. I'm watching something, I want to know what came before and how it's connected and everything.
And I think the problem is, like, it's not so much an option right now, you know?
Right.
You know, where like, if this was that reset that I was talking about, if we moved ahead with some of the same characters but kind of did something new, story-wise, but that's not quite what we're doing. We're really still leaning on some of those same plot points from those movies, you know? And
yeah, and I think the reason for that, you know, for one thing, when you have these same characters that are involved, they were impacted by all of these events that happened. And so we can't just necessarily drop all of those things and move on like nothing, right. None of that happened. So if from a storytelling point of view, you have to have show those things and how they affected these characters. And for these characters, you get to dive a little deeper into them and see their struggles and go deeper into character development and everything. So, but it's not like a completely clean slate. You know, you're not right. introducing just all new characters and right. doing a whole different thing. You know, it's still all connected.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and like, yeah. Even if it wasn't a clean slate with brand new characters, even if it was the same characters but new, you know, new stories, kind of reset, kind of move forward with something brand new that they're facing here. I mean, I think that would kind of be a good idea too at some point. I think mm-hmm. sooner than later they probably need to think about doing something like that. And I think maybe if we're starting to get into mutants, that might be a good time, you know, to kind of face something brand new. Or if someone wants to start with, you know, the X-Men style mutant stuff, that this would be a good jumping on point for them. And, you know, maybe the blip doesn't matter so much, or maybe
right.
The Civil War doesn't matter so much anymore. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because with Falcon and Winter Soldier, we're talking a lot about the blip. So WandaVision, we were too.
Yeah.
But if you go back and just check out what the blip is, well, then there's a lot of stuff in that doesn't make sense. Why is Thor fat? You know, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So then you have to kind of understand that type of stuff. And, you know, who's this raccoon guy that's running around, you know? So you have to go back far. It's like, you know, you really kind of get into this web of, you know, you have to almost start at the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
So someone comes to you and asks where you start with Star Wars. I mean, you can tell them, you know, you can start with 4, 5, and 6. You can start with 1, 2, 3 if you want to go way back to the beginning. But with Marvel, what do you tell them?
Yeah, I mean you got to go back to Iron Man or Captain America. First Avenger.
I really think you do. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that there's a fast track through that stuff. You know what I mean?
No. And I'm wondering about these Disney Plus shows.
And that was my next question. That was, because a year of this worth, this style of content, right off the bat in 2021, WandaVision followed almost immediately by Falcon and Winter Soldier, followed almost immediately by Loki. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the start.
Yeah. Here's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if, okay, WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and Loki, and Black Widow, the mm-hmm. film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if all those stories are still kind of connected back to what we saw before, but then when we start getting into, like,
Eternals,
the other ones, like, when we start getting into, like, She-Hulk, and, like, Moon Knight, and, like, you know, some of these, like, you mentioned the Eternals.
That's a film. But you're talking about Disney Plus. I know what you're
I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about film too. Like,
no,
I want to.
Just Disney Plus.
I'm wondering if those ones are going to take us down another road. You know what I mean?
I think that would be a great idea, actually.
Yeah. And I'm even thinking, like, Here's what when I knew that these first few phases were an Endgame was over, my original thought was, okay, I'm thinking there's going to be like a new team of Avengers, and they're going to kind of build them up and take on some other threat. And that's kind of where I thought it would go. Okay. Right now, it's not quite there yet. I don't know. Maybe it's going to get there eventually. I don't know.
I feel like they're working towards that. I do feel like they're working towards that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is just kind of tying up some loose ends. You know, maybe they maybe they feel like there's loose ends with Black Widow and with the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, you know.
Right.
And by S.H.I.E.L.D., I mean Captain America S.H.I.E.L.D., not
S.H.I.E.L.D.
So maybe they feel like there's loose ends there that they need to tie up. And maybe that's what this stuff is doing. And then, like you mentioned, you know, maybe those other shows and movies coming up, those are kind of the, you know, that point where they
push it forward,
bring new people in. You know, I think that would be great. And if they had these little callbacks, it didn't matter so much.
Right.
You know, narratively, you know, they still had callbacks that might get people interested and say, hey, you know, now I kind of want to know what that means. And so then they go back but that's extracurricular.
But it's not essential. I mean? You know, it's not. Yeah, because the stories we're watching right now and seeing on Disney Plus it's essential to know what happened before, I think. You know, but some of those other ones that might not be.
It feels like it. I mean, it feels like you have to know some of your homework, you know, for stuff that's going on with this. And I don't think it's a bad thing for us. I think that's a great thing for us. It's definitely not like a point for a new viewer, I think, you know.
I know one thing that Marvel doesn't shy away from that I respect deeply is the fact that they trust their fans to play to know the stuff, do the research and I'm trying to think of what the term is that I'm looking for.
Yeah, there's no hand holding going on there. Yeah.
Right. So I respect that they do that.
I definitely agree. Like, I don't think anything that they're doing is necessarily wrong. I really just wonder if they're kind of getting close to, you know, what's that nuclear term? You know, critical mass. I kind of wonder if they're just getting close to that, where it's like, you know, someone sees this and, you know, could be a customer and they're like, man, I don't have time for that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost how I feel going into the comics. Like, I want to go back into the comics, but I feel kind of lost sometimes getting into that type of stuff. And
I wouldn't even know where to start with comics.
I have like the Marvel Unlimited, and I enjoy kind of going back and reading some stuff. And, you know, like I mentioned, that was one of my recommendations, is that 1602, but that doesn't fit into a specific you know, storyline. It's kind of
its own thing.
Seems like it's a self-contained story, so I haven't finished it yet. Mm-hmm. But that's what it seems like. But, like, if I wanted to go back, I wouldn't know where to begin. And then, like, I'd have to Google, like, reading lists or, you know, that. And I wonder if they're getting close to where someone would, you know, see MCU and then start having to, you know, figure out how to watch it, you know?
Yeah, sure. I think that's legit. I mean, you know, I think it would be overwhelming for somebody new trying to come into it in that way.
And then, you know, the other problem is it seems like everyone, and I don't know that it's a problem, maybe that's not the right way to say it, but like the other thing is that people kind of want to replicate what Marvel's doing now, you know? So, you know, moving forward is connected universes. I mean, DC is throwing out those, you know, those buzzwords again about, you know, interconnected stories and things like that. And, you know, maybe they're not specifically referencing trying to do a Marvel thing. But, you know, everyone's kind of trying to do that. You got universes for everything. You got monster verses. You got, you know, Snyder verses. You've got everything else is its own unit. Is that the best way moving forward, is to copy Marvel? Like you mentioned, is it lightning in a bottle? You know, can you really replicate that? Is it best to try to replicate it?
Well, I'm gonna use Zack Snyder's words when he was talking about what he was doing with DC and everything, and he said, you know, they're doing it so well that it's not even smart to try to do that. So I'm just gonna do my own thing here. You know, I'm gonna do something that's a little bit different. And you know, thinking about DC for right now, I think with the 2017 Justice League and even Batman versus Superman that wasn't very well critically received, DC was on some rocky ground at that point. But then they came out with like Wonder Woman, and they came out with Aquaman, and those two movies in particular that I'm thinking of were pretty successful and pretty well received and everything. And so it seemed like maybe their bread and butter for right now was to just do these kind of character movies where they just focus on one character and not trying to bring them all together and have them be interconnected. So that can work. I think it really just depends. Thinking about Star Wars and the Disney Plus shows and everything that's been announced in the movies, specifically for thinking about like the Filoni and Favreau, the, you know, Filoni verse thing. I'm excited. I want to see if Star Wars can pull that off. I want to see, you know, if they can have all these interconnected shows that lead, maybe Thrawn's the main villain of this whole thing or something, for example. Right. Like, I want to see if they can do it. I'm interested in it. Like, I've been wanting that. So I think it really just depends on the franchise. But I don't think anybody's going to ever do it as good as Marvel. And I hope somebody proves me wrong.
I think Star Wars is actually on a really good path. Like, even like you mentioned, stuff that there is interconnected. Like, you have all the animated stuff, and you know, those characters keep reappearing. But I don't feel like any of those depend hugely on anything that came before. You know, like even Ahsoka appearing in Mandalorian, like I feel like someone who's brand new could still get some appreciation out of that. And there's obviously something there for them to latch onto to go backwards, you know. But I don't think that it, I don't think that the story depends on it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that point.
So I really like what how Star Wars is approaching that. You know, going back to what you mentioned about DC, like, I feel like even the fans are just yelling, you know, just do what Marvel did, you know? And I don't think that that's that, I don't think that it's that easy. I don't think that's the way to go, you know, for them, is to just try to replicate that. Because, I mean, now you're talking about like 20 some or however many years worth of movie making and all that. And it's not easy just to just do that. You know,
right?
But then there's also that, use this term again, lightning in a bottle, because I mean, you had the, it seems like you had the right people cast that were going to stick around for however long, and you know, you have to have that, you know.
Yeah,
recasting in Marvel hasn't happened like once. I mean, Don Cheadle.
Yeah, that was,
and then Pietro, but that was, but that was like, that was more like a, you know, kind of a fun thing,
right? But, yeah, I guess the one thing that concerns me about Lucasfilm trying to do the Star Wars connected universe is their history with not working well with others, you know, whether it be directors or now actors or actresses. Yeah, I hope they can get everybody on the same page and keep everybody together and make it work. That would be my main concern with as far as that one goes.
But I mean, like, you have Henry Cavill, you know, Superman. So I mean, like, if you really want to continue that whole Snyderverse thing, then you kind of need Henry Cavill to come back. And it doesn't sound like he's super into that idea.
I don't even think it's on Henry Cavill. I think that's
not even. But
Warner
then you
Brothers.
Have, you yeah, know? But then you have also, you know, right. I mean, but then you have, you know, like, what if Robert Downey Jr. said, okay, I'll sign up for like 3 Iron Man movies and then I'm good. You know, but you didn't have that. You had those types of guys that stuck around for so long. You know, that really weren't too concerned with that almost being typecasted into those roles, you know, and that doesn't really happen that often, you know?
No, I mean, it's going to be hard.
Bruce Banner would be another recast. Yeah. That, you know.
That was early on, though.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think anybody even noticed. I didn't miss.
I don't know.
I can't even think of that actor's name right now. And even though
so many people,
Edward Norton.
Edward Norton. Yeah. So many people, I don't even think saw that movie.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of that one, but,
it was all right. It wasn't, it wasn't great.
But I here's where I'm at right now with this. I think DC is still all over the place and they don't really know what they want. They don't really know what they want to do. Maybe they want a new Superman. They're coming out with this other Batman movie, which I'm really excited about. I'm sure they're going to do a third Wonder Woman, I would guess. Probably another Aquaman. you know, I don't know. They're just kind of, but they're kind of all over the place. Star Wars is in a place where they could really succeed in it on Disney Plus, with shows like Ahsoka. And you know, like, I don't know if Obi-Wan's going to be connected to anything, because it's kind of like a different time period. But if you think of Mandalorian and, you know, season two, then Mandalorian season three, Ahsoka, Rangers of the New Republic, am I missing? I'm probably missing a few.
They have so much coming out, though.
But I could see them succeeding in it if they execute well. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, but Marvel, they did it, and they did it in an amazing fashion. And yeah, it might be lightning in a bottle. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Cool. I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things that depends on the property, on the franchise. I don't know. Maybe
I think it does.
Marvel,
yeah,
Marvel has more room for that. Star Wars has more room for that. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I mean, DC has a lot of characters that they just don't lean on for whatever reason. You know, they have a lot of things that they could get into, but they don't. Maybe that's a reason why it doesn't just seem to work there. I mean, how far can you really take things like monster versus, you know?
Not much farther.
I feel like we've gotten to the end of that, right?
I think
you see these things and like people start throwing out these universe buzzwords and things like that, and it's just like some of it I just don't think fits. So maybe it fits better for Marvel, and you know, maybe it doesn't fit so well for DC. Maybe DC needs to do something else. You know, but yeah, maybe it fits well for Star Wars because you can tell so many different types of stories in Star Wars. Maybe it depends on that more so than, you know, just the blanket statement, I guess.
In addition to all the things you mentioned about Marvel, and how they were able to pull it off, you know, with having Kevin Feige lead the ship, having the actors that were going to be committed, and a lot of good stories. I think they also had just this wealth of material already on hand, and not that they just duplicated everything that was in the comics, because I don't know the comics that well, but I think they had like a lot of story to go to take them places, and you know, to tell a big story. Whereas for other franchises, that might be a little bit more of a challenge.
DC has that, but like I said, for some reason they don't want to lean on that, and you know,
right?
I don't know.
But I will say, in terms of your question of is this the way to go for other franchises, I think one of the major drawbacks of all these big franchises themselves and all these big interconnected things is it starts to take away from those original ideas. You know, it seems like we're just trying to rinse and repeat, or you know, what's the term?
Rinse, wash, and repeat, or was something like that on the shampoo bottle, you mean?
It's something like that, but where it's like gonna be like, okay, like
wash, rinse, and repeat.
Wash, rinse, repeat. Like, how many years from now are we gonna have another iteration of Iron Man and Spider-Man and Superman and you know, but we also need original ideas, like fresh ideas. And that's a whole nother conversation, because maybe we're not even talking about, maybe we still are talking about franchises, but it's a new type of franchise that, like The Matrix, for example, that idea was completely original and started this whole new franchise. I think maybe we need more of that. We need some more, and just repeating these things and having these franchises kind of takes away from that possibility a little bit, I think.
I kind of feel like any studio that sits down and says, let's do what Marvel did, isn't going to succeed at this point. You know?
Right.
I kind of feel like you just sit down and say, okay, we're going to have, you know, these certain standalone movies, and then we're going to have this connected thing, and it's all going to fit together, and it's going to take 10 years, and we're going to have people watch all this. I don't think that's going to work anymore. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think people have kind of done that with Marvel, and like you said, I think it's time for new ideas that, you know, take people new places, you know. I don't know what that looks like. I mean, someone smarter than me has to figure that out, but I mean, like, I feel like that whole big universe thing has been done and done so well, like Zack Snyder said, that it's now time to forget that as a model and, you know, let Marvel do their thing, because they're already on that road.
Yeah.
but trying to just replicate that because Marvel had success with it. I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, it has to come down to each studio, each franchise, you know,
and I feel
making
like
the right call for what they have.
And I feel like DC is the prime example. I don't think that they've succeeded like they could have because they're trying to do that, you know?
Yeah, it just didn't work.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm with you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that was a fun talk.
Yeah, it was. I liked that conversation. Good idea, Adam. I'll give you all the credit for this one.
Yeah.
flex those muscles, man.
All right, you ready to wrap this one up?
All right, let's do it.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Thank you all for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed that show as much as I enjoyed talking on it. I thought that was a lot of fun anyway. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you're not already, leave us reviews if you're on a platform that'll let you do that. We mentioned last week, I want to mention this again, but Podchaser is donating 25 cents for every review that you leave for us, either on the show or on each individual episodes, which is, there's now 75 of those, so you multiply 75 times 25 cents, and that's a decent amount, and every time we respond to that, they'll double it. So do some pretty good stuff for Meals on Wheels. There is what they're donating that money towards, so good stuff from Podchaser, and if you leave us a review, it'll help us out, it'll help a lot of people out as well, so really cool stuff from Podchaser. We're going to keep plugging that this month, I think. Check that out, podchaser.com. We're on there. Look us up. Give us some reviews. And in the process, do some good. And that's cool stuff.
Absolutely.
Remember to check out our Discord server because we have been doing watch parties for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And they've been a ton of fun. Josh, you can attest to that as well.
Because
been having just a blast hanging out with our Discord friends and watching these shows together and theorizing and bouncing ideas off each other. It's such a blast. So make sure you join us Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. The link for the Discord server is in the show notes, and it's on the website as well. So join us there. It's a great community. We have a lot of fun chatting and watching, so check us out there. Also, check out the website that I mentioned, FromACertainPointOfView.com, where you can find blog articles and links to everywhere you can find us on the internet, everywhere you can listen to the show, watch the show, everything like that. So check us out at FromACertainPointOfView.com. Our socials are Twitter and Instagram, are both CertainPOVPod. Facebook page is From A Certain Point Of View. Email address is certainpovpod@gmail.com, and we are hosted by anchor.fm, where you can also leave us a 60-second voicemail. Let us know what you think about, the Marvel interconnected universe. Do they get into a tipping point? Is this the way forward for any other studios? Leave us, if you can fit it into 60 seconds, we'll play it on the show. So give us all your thoughts on that. Check out Red 5 Network. That's our podcast family, our podcasting home on the internet, filled with just a bunch of great shows about every type of geek topic you could possibly imagine. Red5Network.com is the place to check that out. You can find me on the internet at Twitter and Instagram, TheGauze85 on both. And Josh, where can they find you?
You can find me also on Twitter at JediJarJar1722, and don't forget to check out our YouTube channel and subscribe From A Certain Point Of View. This week we will be dropping our new segment, and we'll see what else comes our way on the YouTube channel as well. And thank you so much for joining us, as always, for listening, for being part of From A Certain Point Of View, and until next time, everything we said today was true.
From A Certain Point Of View.